In Matthew chapter 15, we're just going to pick it up where we left off last month. I didn't really have a plan for today, actually, this whole last week. And I really just wanted to see what God would do during the week of prayer and fasting. It wasn't until Thursday that the Lord really... Yeah, if you guys need a Bible, just raise your hand up. We got some guys passing out Bibles. The Lord just really made it clear to me on Thursday what we were supposed to do today, and that was just go to the next section we're in, these next few verses. Pastor Chris used to say, where you're at in the Bible is where you're at in life. And so that just happens to be true, especially of me this week, but I believe of us. And so as we keep going here, after Jesus' honest and unsavory interaction with the Pharisees, where he calls them hypocrites for making void the word of God for their traditions, and he sort of calls them out, and he's like, you guys are hypocrites, you know? And then at this point, Jesus, we're going to see him withdraw to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And there, when he goes, he encounters this needy woman whose faith prevails against all circumstances and causes Jesus to help her. And so before we read this section here, I'll just give you a little outline of what we'll be reading. And we'll be in Matthew 15, starting in verse 21. And I'd like to just read it together, and then we'll get into it here. Okay, Matthew 15, verse 21. And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon. But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, send her away, for she is crying out after us. And he answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But she came and knelt before him, saying, Lord, help me. And he answered, it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. And she said, yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. And then Jesus answered her, O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire. And her daughter was healed instantly. And Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We pray that you would teach us just what you want to teach each one as we look and see what it says, what it meant when it was written, what it means, and what it means for us. And just as the woman from Tekoa, she stood before King David and said, she thought to herself, the word of my Lord the King will set me at rest. And Lord, we know that this is your word. And God, I pray that your word would set us at rest this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so Jesus, after he speaks with the Pharisees and has this interaction with them, it says that he went away from there and withdrew. Now, this wording suggests, the Greek word here that I use for withdrew, it suggests that he was getting away from someone or something. It doesn't say what, but in Mark chapter 7, there's a parallel passage to this, it says, he did not want anyone to know, yet he could not be hidden. And so he withdrew from there. He didn't want anyone to know that he was. And the journey from Gennesaret, we remember that's where he was, the journey from Gennesaret to Tyre was about 35 miles. Here's a map for us. And when we go to Israel in March, getting super excited for that trip, we're going to be in that region of Gennesaret. We won't get to go to Tyre and Sidon because that's over into modern-day Lebanon. We won't be crossing the border, but This is where Jesus went. It was about 35 miles to Tyre, would have been about another 20, 25 miles to Sidon. And so just for round numbers, say they might have traveled 50 miles. he withdraws up to that region, and the cities of Tyre and Sidon were Gentile cities. They were on the, as you can see, they're on the eastern side of the Mediterranean Sea, and they were important Roman port cities. But there are some verses in the Bible that suggest, even though they were not Jewish cities, that there's some verses that suggest that these cities had quite a spiritual hunger at this time. And in Matthew 11:21, Jesus says, "Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes." And in Luke 6:17 and other places, it says that there was people from Tyre and Sidon that would, they came to see Jesus. They came to hear from Jesus because they were into it. They had a spiritual thirst and hunger, evidently. Another interesting thing about Tyre and Sidon is that this region where these cities were was actually allotted to the tribe of Asher. This was supposed to be Israeli-held ground. And yet, in the time of Jesus, it was not. Judges 1:31 tells us that Asher did not drive out the inhabitants of these cities, including Sidon. And so, therefore, they didn't inhabit them. And so, they were never conquered back when Joshua came in and conquered the land. And so, 1,200 years later, when Jesus is there, there's still Canaanite cities. The Canaanites are still living there. And Jesus withdraws to there. And so, according to God's original plan, this lady shouldn't have even been there. You know, it was supposed to be for the tribe of Asher. Interesting. In verse 22, this woman we're introduced to, she's unnamed. And it says she comes crying to Jesus, and she says, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David." And this tells us something of the faith of this woman. She recognized Jesus as Lord. In other words, she recognized he was master over, had power over, in possession of something, recognized his authority, and said, "Son of David." In other words, she recognized that Jesus was the Messiah. Jesus was a descendant of the line of David, the promised one from King David. Anyone, this was a messianic title, and calling out Son of David would have demonstrated her faith in who Jesus was. And she has this request. She says, "Have mercy on me. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." Now we can read over that really quick, but anybody a parent in here? You know, we have quite a few parents in here. Think about if your child was possessed by a demon. Do you think that would be a desperate situation? Do you think you would be in need of some help? I know I would. It's heartbreaking to think of how desperate this woman must have been. And yet in verse 23, we see Jesus' reaction. It says, he did not answer her a word. Huh. That doesn't really, is that what that says? That doesn't really make sense to me. Okay, so here's a woman who's in desperate need. Her young child is oppressed by a demon, and Jesus is like, doesn't answer her word. Interesting. And then we see the disciples, they make a request. Jesus, send her away. She's bugging us. She's calling after us. It seems like maybe they're a little annoyed. In verse 24, after she persists in crying after the disciples, Jesus finally answers her, and he says, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And Jesus reminds her and them, and is reminding us of the focus of his ministry, that it was primarily to Israel, and that he was sent to them first. Now, we know from the scriptures, and we actually know from the story, that he was sent to the whole world, right? Praise God, including us. Amen. But his primary ministry was to Israel at that time. And so, essentially, he, you know, responds to this later and says, "Sorry, lady, but you're a Canaanite. And, you know, I've come for the house of Israel." Not exactly politically correct. Huh? Whoa. But notice what she does. Verse 25. She came and knelt before him. Some of your translations might say worshiped. And she's literally on her knees, kneeling before Jesus. She's begging him. She's desperate. She's heartbroken. And she doesn't make an elaborate request. She doesn't repeat phrases over and over again and have this big, long prayer. Just imagine, she's these three words. She just bows before Jesus and says, Lord, help me. I wish I could hear the tone. I wish I could hear the tone of voice of Jesus. I wish I could hear the tone of voice of this lady. She says, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. I don't know. She's desperate. And Jesus, in verse 26, he uses a little illustration. And he says, it's not right. It's just not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Okay. Wow, this is not going the way I would have thought it would go, right? And in other words, what Jesus is saying here is, look, is in the same way as a parent, your first priority is to your child, right? You're not going to put the priorities of your dog over your child. We make sure our children get first before the dog gets fed. And he's saying, look, my first priority is to the Jewish people. And in so doing, evidently he's calling her a dog, which would have been common in that day for Jews to refer to Gentiles as dogs. There was packs of dogs that would roam around, and it was a common thing where the Jewish people would refer to Gentiles as dogs, and it means just what you think it means. But this word dog here that Jesus uses, little dogs or puppy. And so it sort of maybe softens it a little bit for this woman. I don't know. But notice what she doesn't do. I don't know about you, but I probably would have been offended. She doesn't stand up and go, I can't believe you would talk to me that way. She doesn't stand up or seem entitled. You owe it to me. She doesn't give up. She's evidently not discouraged. She's not dissuaded. She's not dejected, but she continues in persistence. And she even admits that Jesus is right. She admits it. She says, yes, Lord. Yeah, you're right. Yet even. And she says these words, the dogs. I may be a dog. You may be called to Israel, and I may be a dog, but the dogs even eat the crumbs from under the children's table. And Jesus replies, oh, woman, great is your faith. And he reveals to us that this woman truly had great faith. Amen. And you know, he could have said, away with you. Jesus could have done that. He could have said, you know, you don't even belong here. You were supposed to be driven out of here 1,200 years ago. He didn't say that, did he? He said, great is your faith. Be it done for you. And at that, it says her daughter was healed instantly. Instantly. I had a friend growing up. I shared this before, but he had a little saying. He said, when the going gets tough, give up. And that's kind of how he lived his life. But this lady doesn't give up, does she? I would say the going was pretty tough. It was probably a pretty discouraging situation to be in, if I'm reading this correctly. She doesn't give up. And I believe that Jesus didn't answer her right away because he was trying to draw out of her a greater faith and persistence. He gave her every possible chance to give up, yet she didn't. So did he decide, did he know he was going to help her? Or did she like convince him? I don't know. Doesn't say. We don't know. We do know this, she persisted and Jesus helped her. And that's the point. Matthew 7, verse 7 and 8 said, ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. To the one who knocks, it will be opened. And then in Luke chapter 18, where Jesus tells a parable about the persistent widow, he tells it to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. And the simple point, I believe, is this, is that we have to be persistent in prayer. And this lady demonstrates to us persistence, perseverance, against all odds, against all opportunities to give up. She keeps going. But you know, sometimes being persistent is hard, isn't it? Sometimes we are persistent for a while and then we lose heart. Just like this verse says here. He says, hey, pray and don't lose heart. You know, it's really easy to lose heart, isn't it? We've all been there. In this last week, we've been fasting. We've been praying. And I have to confess, you know, sometimes prayer meetings, I have a hard time even say this, but sometimes they're just a little boring sometimes. You know, oh, are you going to go to prayer meeting? Yeah, it's going to be awesome. And sometimes, yeah, it's good. You go to prayer, you pray, we meet with God, we know God hears our prayers, but sometimes you're just like, okay, yeah, yeah, amen. Okay, well, see you later. You know, and that's the way it is. But sometimes the Holy Spirit moves in great power in a prayer meeting. Sometimes it can totally change the course of your day, change the course of your week, maybe the course of your life. And I have found that if I don't show up to pray, those times never come because I'm just not there. They say 50%, what is it, half of life is just showing up. I think it's more like 99% of life is just showing up. And this is true, I believe, in prayer. And, you know, as we were praying and fasting, nothing really crazy happened. I mean, don't get me wrong, we had great times of prayer, and I've heard a lot of good testimonies from people, and the Lord's moving mightily. And but until Thursday, it was like, oh, yeah, it's really, oh, thank you, Lord, and yeah. But then Thursday evening, the Lord just, something happened. He just broke me and spoke to me. And every mom, how many moms do we have in here? Quite a few of us. We got a lot of families, a lot of kids. You know what it's like to have someone in your life who's needy, don't you? Right? A baby is pretty needy. Husbands are pretty needy, aren't they? I know when Allie and I got married, she found out right away that when I got sick, I turn into a big baby. I get really needy. Like, oh, honey, like, oh, are you sick? Yeah, I'm sick. I just get helpless. I'm just so worthless. And maybe, you know, maybe some of us have known maybe someone like that. Ah, that person's just really needy. You know? I don't know. And, you know, in our culture, we value independence. We value self-reliance. We value not being needy, right? At least me personally, I've always thought to myself, oh, I don't want to be needy. You know, I want to be able to, you know, do stuff and be independent and be able to take care of myself. But on Thursday, God just really spoke to me and just was like, you are so needy. You are more needy than you even know. You know how desperately needy you are. And it just made me realize my desperate need for him. I don't even know how to explain it. It's something I guess you have to experience. I was trying to explain it to Allie one night. I'm like, God just really spoke to me tonight. And she's like, I'm so needy. God really spoke to me. And she's like, what does that mean? I'm like, I don't know. I'm just needy, you know. I need him. I need him so much. And I think if you're anything like me, the reason we don't persist in prayer is because we just don't think we're needy. You know, if someone was to ask you, hey, do you need God? Yeah, I need the Lord. You need him in prayer? Yeah, I do. See you at prayer on Sunday. Oh, no, I can't make it. And how guilty I am of that because I just really don't think I need him, and so I'm just not persistent in prayer. Or I'll be persistent for a while, and then I'll give up. Jesus isn't answering. She knew she was needy. And the difference is, for me, I guess this week, is I just had to admit that I really need the Lord. I really need to. And he just spoke to me of like, you just need to keep persisting in prayer. You need to be connected to me in prayer. And I really think that's the word he wants to share with us today, is we have to be persistent in prayer. We have to be just aware of our need for him. And we really did have a great week of fasting and prayer. It was the best week of fasting and prayer I've ever had. Been doing it for years here. Anybody ever, how many of you guys can say it was a great week of prayer and fasting? Yeah. We had some awesome prayer meetings. It was great. And I do want to hear some testimonies. And I tell you one thing, I have never been more thankful for food. Never. So thankful. I mean, like, supernaturally, I'm not even kidding, thankful. So thankful. But I want to encourage you this morning. Maybe you have been seeking the Lord, and maybe you prayed all week, and you're just like, I know what you mean. Like, I've been praying all week, and I just haven't really heard it. I mean, yeah, it was good and everything, but I don't, God didn't really speak to me. Like, is there something wrong with me? I hear all these testimonies of, oh, God did all these great, you know. And I'm just like, I don't know. Like, I was there, but nothing, you know. Anybody ever? That's happened to me quite a bit. I want to encourage you that you're in good company, because that's what happened to the Syrophoenician woman, the Canaanite woman. She cried out to Jesus. She was desperate, and he didn't answer her a word. Why? I don't know, but I do know she persisted, and he answered. She didn't lose heart. She kept praying. She bowed down and worshiped him. And maybe you are a little disappointed this morning. You're like, yeah, I've been praying for stuff for a long time. In fact, there's some things that I've given up on years ago. Maybe you're a little bit bitter. Be persistent. Don't give up. I don't know the mind of God, but it could be he's trying to draw out of you a greater faith. And we're going to spend the rest of the time, I'm going to ask Hillary and Brendan to come back up here, and we're going to dim the lights again, and we're just going to spend some time praying. Yeah, and Kayla too, sorry, she was up here too. We're going to spend some time praying. You know, it's really easy to come to church and go, yeah, be persistent in prayer. Yeah, hear a good Bible study about prayer. Yeah, God really hears prayer. Yeah, I want to persist. And then just not pray. And then a week later, a month later, a year later, you go, man, what if I would have prayed? I wonder if God would have responded. And so that's what we're going to do. They're going to lead us in a song. And I want to encourage you guys, we're going to have our prayer team around the room. And I want you guys to just talk to God. I want you to persist in prayer. Listen, we're all needy in some way. And maybe you kind of have that. Can I just say, this might be a little edgy, I don't know, you're needy. Some of you are like, if you're like me, that's like, I'm not needy. Man, we all need God. We're all in the same boat. We all need him desperately. And so I want to encourage you, tell him what your need is. Maybe you need to come and pray with someone. Just stand right where you're at. Pray to him in your heart. Pray out loud. Worship him. Just tell him what you need. Maybe you don't even know. Maybe you just need to say, God, help me. Let's all stand and we'll worship. Father, as we take a little time to worship you, we want to seek your face. Lord Jesus, you said that your house would be called a house of prayer. Not a house of teaching, even though we do want to teach and we want to learn, Lord. You didn't even say it would be a house of worship, though we do worship you. You said, my Father's house shall be a house of prayer. And so, Lord, help us to come before you in prayer this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.